It's the Danger Gnome Podcast for January 2021. Hola amigos, it's your Tio Gomez here in the Danger Gnome Fat Bike Radio Studios. I am here, and we have the ambassador to Alaska and the Yukon Territories, Mr. Travis Hubbard, with us here. Welcome to the show, Travis.
Thank you. Hola, Senor Gomez. Very nice to speak with you again.
So, how's she going?
Going good, yeah. It's we got lots of snow down. Trails are rolling great. Everybody's staying safe and healthy. So yeah, life is good, man. Yourself?
Cool. Well, we have quite a show in store. This is the
we're on the show tonight.
Made in Minnesota holiday special, where we're going to talk about the Onyx Bird Head special wheel set with Ann Head from Head Cycling Products and one of the founders of Bird Spokes, Charlie Spangers from Bird Spokes. I think I mentioned that, Bird. It's like B-E-R-D, though, Bird. They're the fiber spoke folks. And we don't actually speak with the folks from Onyx Racing, but, you know, both Charlie and Ed talk a little bit about the special hub that they designed for that special wheel set. And for the first time ever, we have a special Danger Gnome After Hours segment with Crazy Chris Daisy, which all started with a text that he sent me that turned into a segment here on the show. And the music's still going, just tinkling away in the background.
Waka waka waka.
So that's what we got coming up here, right after a message from Capybara Butter. When you get sweaty, you need Capybara Butter to cool you down and make a good life with your saddle. Look for tins of Capybara Butter at Bueno Bicycle Shops in Honduras y Costa Rica. It's the one with the Capybara on the tin. Smooth like butter, friendly like a capybara. Buena suerte, amigos. Welcome to the Made in Minnesota holiday edition of the Danger Gnome podcast. Today, we're going to delve into the lightest fat bike wheel set on the planet. Head Cycling Products has partnered with Bird Spokes and Onyx Racing to create something of a fat bike wheel rock and roll supergroup. Today, we're lucky to have Ann Head from Head Cycling Products on the line. Welcome to the radio program.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to tell you about the special edition head wheel. So this fat bike wheel is super cool, from the decals on the rim to the spokes we use to the finish of the hubs. We went into this wanting to make something that was totally unique. And between the contributions of Baird Spokes, Onyx Racing Products, and us, I think we really knocked it out of the park. It is the lightest fat bike wheel in our current lineup. The decals feature a limited Northern Lights theme. Mm-hmm. So we paired up with the black Baird Polylite spokes and speckled the black or Onyx hub so that it would give you that whole Minnesota feel. I think it's just exquisite and beautiful. And we also decided to partner up with a couple other Minnesota brands, the SK Coffee. So when you open the box, you get some local coffee beans that were roasted here in Minnesota. And Gastola Granola. I have a dear friend of mine, Angie, and she makes the best granola around. So the box comes with this amazing wheel, and then you get some coffee and granola to enjoy after your bike ride.
Nice. Some like farm to table, local artisan kind of thing going on there. That's very cool. And these the wheel set weighs between 1600, 1700 grams, right?
Yes, it's really light. It's about 100 to 150 grams lighter than our current setup. So we do them in 26-inch and the 27.5 sizes. So you can get them in both sizes. So we're super, super proud of having those carbon hoops made right here in Minnesota like we've been doing for years. We're really proud that our carbon comes from the U.S., and we just really wanted to do something that was Minnesota, all Minnesota and U.S.
And then bird spokes, which are about half the weight of a traditional metal spoke. That's a fiber spoke, so it looks a little like spaghetti with a loop on one end and a threaded end on the other end. And then Onyx Racing hubs that have a special finish to them to complement the Borealis decals. And it's also a special hub, right?
Yeah, so Barrett actually went to Onyx, and I feel proud because I really kind of introduced them. I've been fans of both of them for years, and obviously, you know, Barrett, when they started, they were in the Min Cup, and I was one of their advisors. And then Jim from Onyx is, again, his product is fantastic, and they went to Charlie went to Jim and said, hey, I need help building this wheel up, and he actually made a specific hub just for those folks.
And the flange of that hub has hooks on it that hook onto the end of the loop of the bird spoke, or?
Right. Yes.
Cool, because the pictures that I've seen, I haven't been able to, like, clearly see that. So that'd be interesting to see a specific adaptation in the hub to facilitate even the lightest and the most advantageous setup to use those bird spokes.
Right, and I know they did an extensive test to make sure, and, you know, like we do here in our own R&D facility, we test our hubs, we test our spokes, we test the rims. We actually have, you know, a wheel building testing machine, and I know that they take great pride in testing those spokes with that hub, and they did phenomenal. So that's why we feel so confident that it's not only light, it's strong, and you'll be able to get a lot of miles on it and be assured that the spokes and the hub system with the rim are going to be, you know, around for a long time.
Nice. So the supergroup that I like to call Onyx Birdhead, I know that has you in the end, but it makes the most sense. It's like a black bird head made from onyx carved. Like a crow's skull could be the album cover of your first album, but how did you guys really come to get together? Did you go to Woodstock together? How did it all work?
Well, you know, I wish I could say that, but honestly, you know, if you think about the year we've had, it's been pretty challenging. And I remember sitting in a meeting back in March, you know, and this is right when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think about something positive because, you know, it's been, like I said, pretty challenging in April, May, when everybody was doing what we were doing. What are we going to do? What's the summer going to be like? What's the fall going to be like? So I literally came up with this idea in a meeting, and I said to some of the other people in the meeting that I want to do something uplifting. You know, what can we do in the fall or the winter to do something innovative? And so I just said, you know, I think we should do something all made in Minnesota. It's something I've wanted to do for years. Mm-hmm. And it was really my idea. I said, let's do it. So, you know, we've been making all kinds of wheels since 1984, and we're really proud of that. But I reached out to Charlie at Baird just because, again, Minnesota is got this little mecca of manufacturers. And I said, what do you think about partnering with Jim from Onyx? And we put together this really light wheel. And, you know, it was just some kind of inspirational, fun, kind of innovative thought I had, just because I think during this really tragic year that we've had, you have to have something positive. So it was just kind of my little brainchild that happened on kind of a somber day when I'm like, hey, I need something to think about that's positive and innovative. Mm-hmm. So it was just in a meeting. And it just popped in my head.
And turned out to be a really smart decision, because all of the, the chain coming out of the Far East is really questionable right now. And to have domestic production really is the best way to ensure that you can actually have the product to sell. And the Made in Minnesota wheel set is on sale now, and it's a limited edition version, right? And people have to order by, is it the 15th of January?
Yeah, that's the date that we put on it. I mean, obviously, we're not going to turn down a sale. We had a certain amount of hubs made, and, you know, we're just trying to make it available.
So it might go a little bit beyond that, but
yeah,
people should jump on this because it is a limited time offer. The wheel set goes for $3,200. And they can order right through your website, right?
They can, or they can order through their local shop. So do it either way. Yep.
Cool.
You can go through a shop also. So we didn't want to make it just consumer direct. We have a lot of shops that we really believe in supporting. So you can do it either way, whatever you prefer.
Cool. Oh, and so jump on that, kids. And the other thing that I have on my list of things to talk to you about is that Fat Bike Worlds is coming up, and Head's a sponsor.
So, yeah, obviously we're a sponsor. We unfortunately are not physically traveling there. We have been really focused on staying safe and healthy here at Head, and we've been so fortunate. And we really are really busy with fat bike sales, all kinds of sales. And we decided that, you know, you would probably see plenty of our wheels out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think last year there was a lot of the top men and women finishers were on our wheels, but we've been talking closely with Andrew Zook of the race director, and we actually will be giving a set of these wheels out there for a prize.
Nice.
But I think, you know, we're just gonna stay kind of close to home and stay safe, just because, you know, we are making as much product as we can each day, and just traveling right now is something we're going to
That's why I'm not going.
Do, but hopefully. And again, I wish I could be there, just like everybody else. But
I wanted to go. I said I needed to go. And, well, our Denver correspondent is going to go, and that's just the best we can do right now with being responsible. Yeah, me talking about being responsible. That's kind of funny. So I guess my last question is, we're putting each guest on the spot and saying, what kind of fat bike do you ride, Ann Head?
Well, you know, my very first fat bike was a 907 Carbon. That was 2014-ish, I think, and it was fabulous. It was an extra small. And I loved it. And, you know, they were kind of at the forefront and still are really making fantastic products. Unfortunately, I've never made it to 5'2". I'm trying, but I'm a little challenged in height. Always have been. And I've been riding bikes, you know, since the early 80s. And I know that a fit is really important. So I have a longtime friend here, Eric Noren. I'm sure lots of you folks have heard of Peacock Groove or Kate. And he made me this amazingly beautiful, I mean, I can't tell you how beautiful this bike is. It's a white frame that I chose with blue butterflies, and it's all custom painted. We did the hubs to match, the 24-inch wheels. And I cannot tell you how many people stop me when I'm riding that bike, because it is just a work of art. My daughter rides also, and she was so jealous, so he custom made her polka dot one with the same blue colors, and I gave it to her for graduation.
Cool.
It's the most beautiful set of bikes. Sorry, I just can't tell you how much it fits perfectly and how beautiful it is. So it's I'm rolling on art. So it's mine's a peacock groove and my daughter's is a cake, and we ride all the time together on them, and we get stopped.
Very cool.
Been through Greg Bryce, been through Filthy 50 too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's my bike of choice.
Very cool. Peacock Groove, made by Eric Noren, right there in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. too. He is just, man, those bikes are jewelry, you know, like, or artwork, you know, a sculpture. So that's pretty awesome. I guess that didn't put you on the spot very much, did it? my probing question of, so what fat bike do you ride? Makes mine.
Well, we support a lot of the other, you know, frame builders. But, you know, when you're, like, challenged like me, I need to have something that's made tested.
Yeah, so. And that was the problem that bike solved, or that movement, that 24-inch wheel bike
right.
solved, was for people of your demeanor. So, yeah.
Right.
Or is that the correct nomenclature for height? Stature, maybe.
I know. I like I said, I'll never get to 5'2", you know, and that's okay, because I feel that I can. I'm just so happy that I can just get on my bike and keep rolling those fatties down the road and enjoying it. And now with the Minnesota snow, we've been super blessed with gorgeous 25-30 degree weather with a lot of snow. So there's just fat bikes all over my neighborhood. It's really cool.
Indeed, you live in the capital of fat biking, I think, Minneapolis.
I do, and where I live, there's about
one of the capitals,
20 miles
I guess.
Of groomed trails. Yeah, so I'm really fortunate I can go out my back door and just ride.
Yeah, we're lacking in the grooming these days. The groomers kind of all, they had a few bad winters and they kind of gave up. I think they're relearning their craft, or we have bad snow. Dang it, this is the wrong kind of snow.
Right. Yeah, we're just, you know, if you're in Minnesota, you can find snow. And we have really good groomers here, so they're all over the place. A lot of the trails are groomed.
Well, cool. Any closing thoughts?
You know, I just am really happy that you asked to have Head on your podcast. And, you know, we are really proud about this wheel. So if you're interested in it, just either you visit your local shop or call us or go online, and we'd love to make one of these beautiful wheels for you.
Cool. Thanks for being on the show.
Next up on this amazing episode of the Danger Gnome podcast, Gomez welcomes Charlie Spanders to the show. He's going to talk about birds' books. What kind of bird is man's favorite bird?
You are listening to Fat Bike Radio. Fat Bike Radio. Welcome to this segment of the Danger Gnome podcast. On the phone, I have Charlie Spangers, who is one of the co-founders of Bird Spokes. And Bird Spokes are the lightest spokes on the planet. Is that right?
That is absolutely right.
So, I don't know, out there in Listler land, if you're familiar with Bird, but you probably have seen pictures of spokes that look a little like spaghetti. And that is probably the Bird spoke. Are you the only fiber spoke that's out there? And am I killing, am I using the correct nomenclature there?
No, so we are the only fiber spoke that's compatible with conventional hubs and rims.
Gotcha.
And so there's, you know, there's a company called Spinergy who's been around for a long time, who's been making fiber spokes, but they've had some downsides because they only work with proprietary hubs and rims. And then similarly, there's another small company in Germany, but, you know, by and far, we're the only fiber spoke company that you'll see bicycle shops building with, because, you know, we're the only one that works with standard components.
So when I learned the spelling of bird. It's B-E-R-D. I thought that the person that I would find at the top of the ladder there at the company, I thought for sure that their name would be Bird, that their last name would be Bird. Is one of the other founders named Bird?
No, not exactly. So we came up with the name from the two words, bike and nerd.
Ah,
so that's
okay.
That's where it comes from.
Gotcha. Well, that's a good story. That's perfect. Do you guys like Devo? Because that just makes sense to me. I don't know. I'm crazy. Anyway, so my next burn-in question is, what are these things made of? I mean, is it some kind of secret, or do you have to kill me if you tell me? Or
I do not. So the spokes are made of ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene, mm-hmm. which is a mouthful to say. Ultimately, the material is polyethylene, so it's got the same chemical substances that plastic bags mm-hmm. have in them that come from the grocery store, just polyethylene. But the difference between regular polyethylene and ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene is the way in which it's made and formed. And so this material has super long chains. They're all aligned along the length of the material, which make it the strongest, the highest strength to weight material in the entire world that's produced commercially.
Wow.
So it actually has the strength of diamond along the length of the fibers, and that's the way in which the fibers are being pulled in the spoke. And mm-hmm. so the spoke is made up of a braid of these fibers. There's actually about 1,000 fibers in each individual toe, and a toe is one strand of the braid that you can see, as in there's 12 of those toes in our braid. So it's a 12-stranded braided ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene rope, essentially.
So do the math out there, kids. That's a lot of fibers.
And
your spokes can work with any type of hub, straight pull or traditional L type of, like what a normal spoke looks like.
Right.
So it can be laced to any rim and any hub and saves just a ton of weight. But the thing that really intrigues me is vibration dampening. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Sure.
Yeah, so to tell you a little bit about the spoke. So they've got the fiber, the braided fiber, and then the two ends. The first end is a loop, and that loop can interface with standard J-bend and straight pull hubs, like you said. Mm-hmm. The loop pulls through the hub hole. On typical hubs, it pulls through the hub hole and then it's secured by a rod mm-hmm. that goes through the loop, which prevents it from pulling back through. And then on the other end of the spoke is a threaded stainless steel rod. And so it's a standard spoke end. It's a 14-gauge, 2-millimeter thread that interfaces with normal 14-gauge bicycle spoke nipples. Mm-hmm. And then, so of course on the rim side, the rim has no idea, that the spoke is any different than a traditional metal spoke. The biggest part of our company, of our intellectual property is the connection between the stainless steel rod and the braided fibers. Mm-hmm. And that's our patented connection, and it relies on the Chinese finger trap effect. As the fiber, it's a hollow braid, and as you pull on the spoke, that braid constricts, mm-hmm. and it actually increases the holding force the higher you pull on it, or the harder you pull on it. That's what makes that bond and that connection so strong, and that'll never fail in service.
Cool. And you mentioned the Chinese, though. These are not Chinese spokes. These are made in America, right?
Yeah, I think that's an important distinction. Chinese finger trap is just what people, recognize as the name of the device you might have played with as a kid. But
but
the spokes are designed, engineered, manufactured entirely in Hopkins, Minnesota. So we do all of the spoke manufacturing here.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I learned of your product from a bike dealer in Green Bay. It's the Broken Spoke Bicycle Studio there. And up until last winter, our main podcast featured Leah Schneeberger as one of the co-hosts, and she has run those wheels for a whole season. So everyone, literally, I mentioned this product to, and I've been pretty stoked about this. George got me re-stoked when I did an interview of him a couple of months ago. I've been looking into this and talking to whoever will listen about your product, right?
Yeah.
And invariably, and I talk to a lot of bike nerds, dude. I bike shop professionals that each, and like 100% of the first question they ask is, so are they durable?
Yeah, that is a great question. So the simple answer is yes. You know, maybe you've heard this from some of the people you know who have ridden them, at Broken Spoke. We've now done fatigue testing where we put our wheels on drum fatigue testers and we compare them to stainless steel spokes. And the fatigue life of our spokes is better than traditional stainless steel spokes. So they're expected to last longer in most applications than steel.
And man, I saw a short video on your Instagram that showed four times the amount of force that is used as the benchmark in testing spokes. You dropped that onto a bird spoke built, I don't know, it was either a gravel or a road. It was something narrower than a fat bike wheel. And the weight bounced on that rim and the spokes just bowed outwards and then returned back to looking like new, right?
Right.
And that just blew my mind. But my question is, what were you trying to demonstrate there? Like their resilience? Or is that somehow linked in with the vibration dampening and or something that's probably even more so as any kind of shock absorption or?
Yeah. Well, you hit on a lot of different points there. So, first of all, our spokes have a high strength. And so in the test that we showed that you're talking about on our Instagram, that's an impact test. And that test is typically done to evaluate the strength of rims. What you'll find is that as you get to high enough impact, eventually you'll cause a rim to crack. And, people do that test intentionally just to see what the impact strength of a rim is, because any rim ultimately will fail. And in that test, you can see, though, the other thing is you can see that the spokes go out of tension. And when typical metal spokes go completely out of tension and then they go back into tension again, they're likely to fail over time if they continue to do that repeatedly.
Right.
Especially at the bend for a J-bend spoke, that's where you'll see that type of failure where you unload it, load it again. It's a bending type failure that you'll get over time. And our spokes are much less likely to break because of that, because of the fatigue life of the material is just ultimately it's better than steel for that type of fatigue that you see. And so we do all kinds of other tests. We do torque fatigue tests where we take a rim and we simulate, pedaling, with really hard pedaling uphill. Mm-hmm. We do that sort of testing and we do individual spoke fatigue tests too, just to compare to steel. But so the other question you asked about is the vibration damping.
Yeah.
Now, vibration damping, it's not the same thing as suspension, and so what that big impact we show in the video, that doesn't show, that doesn't really show suspension or vibration damping. That's no different. You'd see the same sort of behavior in terms of what the wheel looked like if you had metal spokes. The vibration damping is something you can't see. It's just something you can feel. And it's an intrinsic property of the material. If you take a metal spoke and you pluck the spoke, it'll ring very nicely. I'm sure you've done that before on wheels, right? You pluck the metal spokes and it's because steel transmits vibrations very nicely. Our material, Because it's polyethylene, it doesn't transmit vibrations the same way. And, you know, if you pluck it, it'll just vibrate for a short period of time and then stop vibrating. And so ultimately, you know, when you're riding on a gravel trail or or a single track that has bumps on it, that'll cause your handlebars and your seat to vibrate. You know, as you hit more and more things, it just continues to vibrate more and more. And that vibration is what our spokes get rid of or reduce because of the properties of the material itself.
That's super intriguing for me because my mind goes right to washboarded gravel roads where that type of property would be a benefit.
Yeah. And, you know, the vibration damping, that's something when we first developed the product, we measured that. So we can measure that in the lab by putting an accelerometer onto a wheel and impacting the wheel, comparing it to steel, and you can watch the vibrations damp more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, now that's the most common feedback that we get on our spokes, more so than the weight savings is the vibration damping. And you know, we hear it from people who have arthritis in their hands, and they say, you know, it just makes such a huge difference, especially for long rides, you know, and other customers who do the day across Minnesota, for example, mm-hmm. you know, 240 miles and, you know, and over long periods like that is when you really start to notice the benefit of the vibration damping.
Well, that's just super intriguing to me. You can't really just gloss over the weight reduction either, because I know in the Made in Minnesota wheel set that Head and your company and Onyx Racing put together, that wheel set saves 800 grams to other comparable carbon wheel sets in the fat bike genre. Have you put a number on what the average, you know, like how much lighter are your spokes than traditional metal spokes?
So our spokes are half the weight of high-end metal spokes, you know, so they're half the weight of a Safeham CX-Ray or a DT Revolution, for example. And so you save about 2.5 grams per spoke in the, you know, that's sort of the worst case scenario, right? 2.5 grams per spoke times 64 spokes in a wheel, you know, about 150 grams. And so that's what we typically say for high-end wheels, you'll save 100 to 200 grams.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if you're looking at a fat bike wheel though, that might have a, you know, an intermediate spoke, like a 1.8 millimeter butted spoke, then you can definitely save upwards of 200 to even 300 grams on a wheel set.
I guarantee you most people have those spokes on their fat bike rather than,
right.
Safeham CX. Do I have the, is it CX X-ray or CX ray?
CX-Ray.
I put an extra X in there. So that's so you can't glance over that weight reduction, and it's reducing weight at the most critical spot that you can reduce weight. Still comes down to, you know, George tells me he doesn't pull any punches on his bird spoked wheel. And I've seen that guy, you know, do 5 foot drops and whatnot. And he doesn't just have it on his fat bike. He has it on a specialized regular mountain bike, a dual suspension mountain bike that's on your, featured on your website, I see. Pretty hot looking bike.
Yeah. Right.
So that's pretty interesting. And my last inquiry is, like, can any shop build these wheels, or do you need a special certification? You don't need any special tools.
Yeah, so any shop can build with our spokes. You do need special tools, but we sell those tools as a kit to bicycle shops to be able to build with our spokes. And you know, my advice to bicycle shops my advice to shops is that it'll take some time to get proficient to build with bird spokes. And so it's different, and particularly the lacing process with standard hubs is more time consuming than lacing a metal spoke wheel. The the process for truing the wheels is similar to metal spokes, and so once the shop builds a few sets of wheels, they'll get much more proficient, and it'll get much quicker and easier.
Is there a preferred dealer list on your website or anything? I know Broken Spoke Bicycle Studio can build them, because everyone that I know that runs your wheels, I believe they built those wheels. But you know, it's our little slice of cycling here in Wisconsin. But are there dealers across the country that can do that, or preferred dealers? Or
so we do have dealers across the country, that's something that we'll be adding to our website soon, is a list of of our retail partners, our preferred dealers to build with Bird Spoke.
Cool. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot now and say, what kind of fat bike do you ride, Charles?
Well, you know what? I am I'm lucky that I just got my first fat bike this year,
nice.
About a month ago, and it's an awesome Voitec.
Oh, very cool.
So, they're local, of course, to us here in Hopkins.
And narrow Q factor, so it doesn't mess with your birthing hips or anything.
Yeah, it's something I don't have to worry about. But
oh, that's right. It's about your knees, not your hips.
Yeah,
something like that. Well, that's cool. I thought for sure you were going to be like, fat bike? I haven't gotten around to fat biking yet.
Yeah.
So well played. You've passed the test. You have a fat bike. Nah, nah, nah. Well, it wouldn't have mattered. Because you have a PhD in something, and you've come up with an incredible product that we look forward to jumping around on.
Yeah. And so we can talk a little bit more, too, about this collaboration between Head and Onyx.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So this, we're really excited about this. We were, I was approached by Anne from Head to create these wheels. And, it's a great opportunity with all three of us being, within about 60 miles of each other here in Minnesota. What's really cool about this is that, because we started talking with Head and we got Onyx on board, we were able to work directly with Onyx to develop these new hubs specifically for our spokes.
Mm-hmm.
So the Onyx hubs have, you've probably seen pictures of these now, they have, instead of hub holes, they have hooks. And so some of the difficulties I talked about with lacing a standard spoke, or a standard hub, and our spokes taking longer to do, we've eliminated that with these new hubs with hooks, and they're super, super fast and easy to lace with Bird spokes.
Oh, cool.
And, it's a really nice clean look, and it's the lightest weight hubs. It's the lightest weight fat bike hubs that Onyx has ever made. These hubs are, I think they're about 200 grams lighter than their normal, fat bike hubs for the set. So, I think it's a really cool set of wheels, a great collaboration, and there's going to be more long-term between all three of us, all three of our companies for other applications as well.
Well, that's great. I have been a long time rider of Head single layer carbon rims and Onyx hubs. So I can speak of my own experience being very positive with their product. Again, made in the USA, right in Minnesota, and buttery smooth and stealthy and quiet. I mean, for those that don't want the noisy free hub, this is your hub. It is completely quiet, employing something called sprags. They're so unique. They had to come up with a new word. Maybe not. Might have been a word, but pretty cool stuff.
Yep, I agree.
So that wheel set is the Made in Minnesota special edition wheel set featuring Head rims, Onyx Racing hub, Bird spokes. The MSRP is $3,200, and it's a 1,700 gram wheel set. And it's probably less. It's probably 1688 or something like that. It's 16 and change, which is about 800-900 grams lighter than any other carbon wheel set that you've ever seen on the interwebs. So, because we test and ride and weigh a lot of this fat bike gear, and I have two pair of double wall carbon rims laced to I9 hubs with traditional spokes that are 24 to 2650 as far as grams for the wheel set. So this is lightweight stuff, and we're going to be doing a test to see if the durability is there. But all reports that I've gotten from the racing scene is that they are. And we may add a segment here where we talk to a few people that are riding these rims. We might get George or Leah to talk a little bit about their experience with it. But we really appreciate you coming and spending a little time on the Danger Gnome podcast. Any closing thoughts before we let you go?
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity. It was great talking to you. And, thanks for taking the time.
Not a problem. Enjoy your day. Happy New Year.
All right. Thanks. You too, Gomez.
The Dangerous Danger Gnome After Hours is made possible with support from the Bike Black Ribbon Society and Liquor Lyles in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
You were listening to Fat Bike Radio. Fat Bike
Radio. Here's Gomez and crazy ass Chris Daisy.
All right. Welcome to the Danger Gnome After Hours. We have on the telephone our music director, former Zion Cyclery chief executive officer, and all-around groovy cat, Chris Daisy.
Hello.
How's she going? And gardener.
Going good.
Master gardener.
Gardener, surfer, taking on all kinds of new hobbies.
Yeah. I haven't seen the pictures of surfing. I got to look that up because I heard
there's more pictures of me just falling off of a surfboard. Not real impressive as of yet, but all having right. a good time doing it.
So the other day you and I were having a chat. Well, actually you started mm-hmm. the whole thing. You sent me a text, and the text said something like, what did I just do? Are you there? Are you there, Chris?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
There you are. All right, sorry about that. That was me. That was all my fault.
No problem.
We'll edit that out. So let me get to this text. That was what I was trying to do. When I hung up on you, I wasn't just hanging up on you. I was trying to get to this text that started this whole conversation. Oh. The text says, Peloton should start making bicycles and crush the entire industry. Change my mind.
Yeah.
So Peloton has such a data stream with their user group, and I know that you're going to get into television advertising. So what do you mean by that?
Well, this is something that I was just yelling till I was blue in the face about while I owned the shop, and time and again seem to fall on deaf ears. And, you know, if you remember a couple of years ago when Peloton was just super heavy advertising, you couldn't turn on the TV without seeing that, you know, Ramon song and people pedaling away, right?
Right. On NFL broadcasts, I remember seeing it. So that's
everything. You know. It was on everything. It was across the board. It was just like they advertised so heavily and it worked. And I mean, there's no arguing that it didn't work. If you look at them today, they're like, you know, a publicly traded company, and they were a Kickstarter company in 2012. Huh. Okay. Now their market cap is like $46 billion. It's like larger than the entire bike industry. So
wow.
You tell me if traditional advertising works or not. You know, it's like these companies currently, the bike companies, it seems like, oh, their idea of advertising is putting in a 2-page spread in Bicycling Magazine. And, you know, hoping for the best. Or maybe you'll see a commercial during the Tour de France. when everyone who's already owns a bicycle is watching, right?
Right. And that, and those broadcasts are a pretty narrow slice of
oh yeah,
the American market, you know. Average Joe does not watch the tour.
No, and if you, you know, like take example Trek, one of the largest bike companies in the world. If you go up to someone who's a non-cyclist and ask them what a Trek is, they're probably going to bring up William Shatner or maybe going on a trip. They don't know. You know. Their last idea of a bicycle was the old Huffy they had when they were a kid, because it just, nobody does a good job of exposing them to how cool a bike is. I mean, look at fat bikes. Like 10 years later, people were still walking into the shop being like, oh, what's that for? I mean, that shouldn't be a question. They should have seen that on television already. They should have seen that, oh, these bikes exist and I can ride in the winter. That's really cool. Maybe the shop will get a phone call on Monday from a guy who saw it on Sunday Night Football, but it just never, ever happened.
So okay? Where do you and see so now, Peloton going from the basically a spin bike with their proprietary connectivity and lessons and clubs and that whole social network that where do you see them making a step into like real bikes, like e-bikes or do everything bikes, or are they going to go, or should they be like go into some of these specialties?
Well, let's take a look at what's the I mean, think of it just even from their name, Peloton. They could be the king of group cycling. They could have not only creating their own bikes, but they've already got their bike culture and their clientele to be like, oh, now instead of just being in your living room, it's 75 degrees out. We're going to have a big group ride. We're going to, you know, I mean, it's just ripe for the picking. Let's say, for instance, they just decided to, oh, I don't know, buy SRAM. You know? You think that would cause some disruption in the industry if all of a sudden the current bike company had to buy parts from Peloton?
Like merge with a company like Canyon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anything. Or just, I mean, you know, the thing is they've proven that they know how to grow an audience. And that's something that I think the current bike companies have just failed to really do for decades, at least effectively. You know, they'll tell you, oh, we've done this, we've done that, we've done it, you know, donated to this group that's done nothing for anybody. And it's ridiculous. All you need to do is put eyeballs onto bicycles and then the butts will follow, you know? And it's just, this company's done it. They've showed you the way. And if you don't come up with an idea to counter that, oh, all they got to do is turn their eye on you because they've already bought Precor. They can start to manufacture their own exercise equipment. What happens if they just decide to go after the bike industry?
Right.
I think some current CEOs would start shaking in their boots.
Yeah, that's another big point, that they merged with a company that can make a much, much better exercise bicycle to connect with that Peloton software side. Because currently they took this company where it's at, using a bicycle that had been around for 15 years and every cycle studio had
that in
it. And it's a really simple, when they add that Precor computerized resistance into their program, their at-home product is probably going to improve exponentially. So
yeah, and let's say they come out with a bicycle that's got all kinds of cool built-in gadgets and gizmos and recording devices and connectivity, and you know, all of a sudden your real rides will count on your Peloton points or what have you. I mean, honestly, cycling as a sport would be better for it if they did that, because at least then it will get the advertising and marketing it deserves as a sport. Because everyone else has decided not to do it for decades. And so asleep at the wheel, I think it's going to bite them in the butt if this company decides, like, hey, we're just going to crush it. Well, you know what? We'll just buy SRAM and QBP. And all of a sudden, they're making money in the bike industry without even making a bike yet. You know? And then where does it go from there? So I'm just putting a shot across the bow and maybe hopefully getting a job myself at Peloton. I don't know.
Peloton's design studio.
Anyone who's listening out there, he can contact me.
Well, we should send this to the head of marketing at Peloton, or head of
Why not?
The vice president in charge of buying the bike industry, or you know, new projects.
Because I mean, it used to legitimately make me mad. I would get angry every time I'd see the commercial because I would be like, "What if this was a bicycle commercial?" I'd be getting so many phone calls, you know, the next Monday if somebody saw commercials at this kind of magnitude for bikes, like they did for this, like you said, 1960s Schwinn exerciser with some lady on a TV screaming at you. Yeah. You know? And,
but now, dude,
you're
more of a free agent, you know? So
I am a free agent. I've got some new projects. Nope.
You're like the, like an editorial expert on bicycles now. You've been there.
Ooh, I should get a job on cable news.
Cable news. That's kind of like, yeah. So,
industry analyst.
How about this? I have a question from a reader that he wants to know if he can run 3.8s on his stock wheels. And straight up, 80 millimeter rims, you can run 3.8s on hundreds. You'd be better off with bigger tires, but I've done it. I've run an endomorph on hundreds and it looks really fat. But he's looking for recommendations for 26 by 3.8 summer fat bike tires. So what do you got, Hotshot?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
My favorite tire that I used to run when I was running a 26-inch fat bike was the Bontrager Rogeroo.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's I don't know tire. If they're still available. Because
they are.
You know,
they actually are in stock, too.
Are they?
Yeah, they're in stock, too.
Let me throw some love towards Trek for once because I'm always, you know, kind of angry at them. but... no, those tires kick ass, man. I used them on all kinds of conditions and short of like needing full studs, you know, unless you were just riding glare ice, terrible trails, they rocked on everything. Those things were sandpaper and they were light. Yeah. And I think they came in at 3.8, if I remember.
And they're a skinny 3.8.
They're fast and they were just an all around great tire. I really like that tire. I wish they would make them in a 27.5 since they made the conversion of
hundreds of tiny bristling knobs, you know, low, but very, 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 very grippy tire that rolls really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I would add,
no, those were great.
I would add a Schwalbe Jumbo Gym to that list for. Easy rolling, just enough traction to go fast on dirt, and no penalty for riding gravel or pavement. Husker Du.
I had a pretty bad wipeout on a pair of Jumbo Gyms one time, so I'm not going to comment.
Yeah, and I suppose you could add what's the Kenda tire that is super low knobbed. Oh, maybe it's not Ken.
Oh, those, what was it, the Sport, what was the name of that tire? We sold a ton of them back in the day because they were like the only lightweight
Juggernauts.
Tire.
Juggernauts, that's the
Yeah, they were not the best in terms of traction, I'd say, but they were light, so you had to kind of trade off.
And then I run Husker Du's quite a bit in the summer, mm-hmm. but you have to be careful with those tires because... They say only winter use, and I've seen some big holes punched in those tires by pointy sticks. Travis had one, I had one. But now we have big plugs. I have a plug in my Dillinger 4 right now that I'm about to stud, amid studding. So, that's...
Plug talk.
So that's the recommendations. A Husker, a Rogeroo, though. That's if you could get Rogeroo front and rear, that would be a bitchin' setup. But I'm going to throw a curve at you and for as far as an answer and say that 27.5 rims with a 50 millimeter wide rim with 3.8s, 27.5 by 3.8s is my favorite summer setup. And, you know,
I can see that.
That rolls really nice. So, a last thing on my list to talk to you about is, you know, you have an S-Works Fat Boy, the last of the Bid Block Hemi Interceptor. Best, best big box fat bike ever made, maybe, out of the big brands.
It probably was, but to be honest, in my quest to stay current and because, you know, I was a bike shop owner and always could play that game of sell your bike every year type of deal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, let the Interceptor go. I probably should have kept that bike, at least and bought a second fat bike, because I'll probably never be able to replicate that. And especially after I stripped all my stuff off of it and kind of rearranged it, I think out the door, the thing was like sub 23 pounds when I sold it. But honestly, I wanted to go 27.5 wheel to check that out. I wanted to go with a little bit more of a rugged setup in terms of wheels, because as great as those heads are, they're super light carbon. I did crack one of them right off the bat. And I was always like, eh, is this my long-term sort of solution for wheels? I don't know. And so I sold the bike and built up a really cool air grease, and the rest is sort of history.
A salsa bear grease. It's an interesting choice. It's probably the second best ever made. But you know, if they just they would be a tie if they just said, "Well, we're not going to make the bear grease anymore," because that made that S-Works precious, right?
Potentially, but what got me though was like one day when I was test riding a bear grease just in that parking lot of the shop, and I went to like pull a wheelie and realized just how much shorter the, you know, chainstays were and how much more lively and poppy the front end was compared to my S-Works. Cause the S-Works at the time, like that thing came with like, I don't know, like 150 mil stem. Mm-hmm.
Something like, really?
Not really, but close. I mean, it was kind of like old.
We haven't
school,
had 150 like, millimeter stem in 15 years, bro.
I know that's an inside bike joke, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, it was not the current, like, stubby things you see on bikes today. It was like, okay, something was off. And you could just tell it was a few years sort of behind where the industry had been going, and, you know, hence they just completely stopped making them. So, but yeah, I wanted to kind of go a little more current and see what the 27.5 ride was about. But unfortunately, then I couldn't get my rotary tires anymore. So probably a double whammy.
But
whatever.
You know, there's Dillingers, which roll great. And there's Maxxis, and there's a whole bunch of tires. But so what's your verdict on 27.5?
I seem to like it. I mean, it's, you know, the hard part is unless you're going to conduct a fatbike.com official test situation, it's hard to really, you know. I'm not like comparing my Strava times or anything like that, but I mean, the overall feel, I like the overall ride and feel of it, you know. I think it's not a bad way to go.
I think they're both good, but I don't see I don't see any big deal about rolling the different diameter, because depending on what tire you put on there, that diameter is not very much different than your 26, you know?
True. Yeah.
Run the biggest size, then yes, then it's a bit taller than even the tallest 26 inch by 100 millimeter wide setup. But
are you suggesting that we could all just be victims to bicycle marketing?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying that it's no big deal. You people out there that have a 26-inch wheel bike, if you have an S-Works Fat Boy, keep that fucker. And you'd probably be able to run 27.5 by 3.8 if you want, because it's not that much difference. There's just very little. It changes your footprint.
Okay.
You know.
So the moral of the story is you probably would have sold more tires and wheels if you would have put on a fat bike commercial instead of coming up with a new stupid wheel size.
Well, it was
to tie it back into our other conversation.
I think it was a smart move by Trek because they differentiated themselves and steered the market, you know, and identified who the leader was and who the followers were. Right. So
no, I'm not saying it was worth moving his, you know, or anything, but I just think, like to my point, dollars spent sometimes exposing new riders to bicycles would not be a bad idea.
Oh, way to bring it around. Way to tie it in a knot with your original editorial. How should we classify it?
Drink my analysis.
Oh, there you go.
Market analysis.
So, Chris designed our new jerseys, and he's been sending me stuff. If you have like a race flyer that you need, or a jersey to be designed, or a sticker idea,
yeah,
Chris is your man.
Chris Daisy Art and Design over there on the Facebook.
Right on. I'll put the link in the show notes. Thanks for being on the Danger Gnome After Hours.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
All right. Let's ride bikes and stuff.
All right, brother.
Yeah, it's going to snow 6 inches. Nope. So this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So.
Well, shoot. Waves are up right now. I'm going surfing this afternoon.
All right.
So surfing and fat biking in the same month, man, it's pretty sweet, I gotta say.
It's crazy. So let's bring Travis back and wrap this bad boy up. Travis, that was a hell of a show, huh?
Yeah, what a great show, man. That sounds like some really nice all Minnesota made in USA wheels going on there.
And you just can't design an Android like Crazy Chris Davey, can you? Not yet.
No. Anyway.
We don't have the technology. So.
No, only aliens do.
We should probably just close the show with saying, swallow, man's favorite bird.
Check us out on Instagram.
Mine's the raven for the record.
All right. Adios, amigos. Till next time.
Adios, amigos.
I'm Bruce Gilchrist with the Fat Republicans Museum of Scandinavian History.